This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas. Here's Matt Perrault.
It is Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio on a Thursday. Let's head to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Let's talk some Yankees. The Yankees are an interesting team. They're clearly going to have a big year. How big of a year? Well, I think the Astros are going to have something to say about that. Tyler Norton covering the Yankees for Pinstripe Alley, SBNation.com, joining us here on the program. Tyler, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Hey, Matt, doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Great to have baseball back on the docket. And look, the Yankees had a whale of an offseason here, and I think everybody is so curious to watch them down in spring training to see what they do with this new lineup, what they look like with this new lineup. But sometimes when the Yankees, and it's happened to other teams in the past, Dodgers, Red Sox, whatnot, when they have big offseasons, it does not automatically translate to big-time success. What are your expectations for the Yankees this season?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you don't win the World Series in December, but I have a good feeling about this squad. They really overperformed their expectations last year. They didn't rest on their laurels after coming within one game of the World Series. They went out and got Giancarlo Stanton, one of the best bats of the generation. So I think they've stepped up. They've had a very strong offseason and are ready to run some of the American League this spring.
Where do you see this team? If there is a worry zone, if there is an area where you're concerned, it can't be the lineup, but where are you worried about? What concerns you about the Yankee team currently as they're made up?
You know, I was actually talking to somebody about this today. There are two areas. One, you have some of the rookie infielders. The Yankees are going with second and third base, potentially being Gleyber Torres, Miguel Andujar, both of whom are top prospects, but you never know how that pans out, so the concern was, did they miss the opportunity to bring back a veteran infielder, a Todd Frazier type, or maybe a Neil Walker? The other item of concern is, how is Aaron Boone going to handle his first year of management? And when I was talking today, the name Steve Kerr came up from the Golden State Warriors. He inherited that team. He inherited a strong team. Aaron Boone inherited a strong lineup. So perhaps it's something that he can't really mess up.
Well, that's my concern, and that's my question about Aaron Boone, who's not been a manager on any level, now coming into New York. Now, he played there, obviously. I mean, he's, you know, the guy who hit the home run in 2003 off of Tim Wakefield to win the American League Championship Series. So he's got his ties to New York. He understands what it means to be a New York Yankee. But when it comes to pitching changes, when it comes to dealing with the dynamic of a clubhouse and mixing in some of these younger guys and some of these older guys, how do you feel like he's equipped to handle that? Because to me, that's maybe the biggest question I've got for the Yankees in 2018.
Exactly. And so far, he had his introductory press conference 2 days ago, and he said all the right things about the clubhouse environment. He wants to keep it loose. He wants it to be comfortable for the young players. Aaron Judge said that he liked how Aaron Boone has talked about this culture of winning. He's expecting the players to come out and win and be successful. But the real question is going to be, we're saying this now in spring training, what happens when he makes that bullpen move that backfires? Or what happens when he leaves a starter in too long? Or a player goes down with injury? How is he going to adjust to that? And he has no previous managerial experience, so we don't know. I'm confident, though, from what he said, from the way he's presented himself to the Yankees and the fans so far, that he'll be a smart person to handle those adjustments, and I think that we'll be in good shape.
You know, Tyler, the Red Sox and the Yankees will always be there. I grew up in Boston. It'll be a blood hatred forever. However, I'm curious what you think about the comments and what the Yankees may be thinking about the comments, because on MLB Network, Mad Dog Chris Russo said the Yankees are the team to beat.
Yeah.
I can't think of any reason why the Yankees wouldn't be the team to beat. And Verlander got a hold of the audio, and Justin Verlander said, well, I can think of one. Are the Astros and the Yankees, are these two teams going to be the big rival of 2018 in the American League?
I think so. I think the Yankees and Red Sox are always going to be the AL East rival. But there's something brewing between the Yankees and the Astros. And it goes back to 2015, the wild card game. It was the Astros and Dallas Keuchel who kept that Yankee squad from making it to the ALDS. And then last year, the epic seven-game ALCS series, the Yankees ran into Verlander, and he was a buzzsaw twice. So there's something there going on. And he's having some fun on social media. I think the Yankees are also going to be talking about that. Didi Gregorius was actually over at Mohegan Sun. He was interviewed on the Michael Kay show, and they talked to him about that. And he said the Astros, they don't want to play in New York City. They didn't want to be there. And some of the comments from the Astros, they didn't want, there was something there, a different environment in New York.
There was, but I mean, that's why you play home field, right? I mean,
that's exactly.
Why you play all year, to have home field advantage for the ability to take care of you in your home games and you advance. So maybe there's something to that, but then the Yankees need to have a better record than the Astros in the regular season, and I'm not so sure that's going to happen given the depth of the American League East versus the depth of the American League West. And that's one of the problems I think the Yankees will run into, is that they're going to be I think the Red Sox will have something for them. I don't think they'll win the division. I think the Red Sox will be just a thorn in the side for the Yankees coming up this season, and that may enable the number one seed to go to the Houston Astros. You know, I'm curious about the bullpen, too, for the Yankees. Aroldis Chapman last year did not look like Aroldis Chapman. I mean, if you go back to the Rafael Devers play, where Devers, a rookie, takes him deep at Yankee Stadium to win a game there, you don't normally see that from happening, and his ERA was a lot higher than normal. I had made the case that the year prior, the Cubs and Joe Maddon had burned him out, and maybe took a year or two off of his career because of how much they used him for the Cubs championship in the postseason. He says he's back. Do you believe that Chapman's going to have a big year this year for New York?
You know, I do think there's something to the idea of that World Series hangover from 16 lingering into 17. And, I mean, Chapman was lights out in the playoffs last season. So there's that idea that hopefully that with another year removed from that long campaign with the Cubs, that his arm will bounce back, will do a better job this year. And, I mean, the Yankees are paying him to be that type of closer. If he's not, the Yankees do have some depth. They can manage it. They brought in David Robertson, who was incredible after the trade. He had a terrific contact percentage. The batters were not squaring the ball up against David Robertson. They also have Tommy Canley, who came over, and I think he's an underrated piece in the bullpen. Chad Green, some of these guys that people aren't talking about. And Dellin Betances, he lost 16 pounds, so that he's working on his mechanics. If they can get the old Dellin Betances back, then definitely I think the Yankees are capable of absorbing a less than typical Chapman year.
Let me ask you a little bit. We're talking to Tyler Norton, Pinstripe Alley, SBNation.com, about the starting rotation. And you mentioned that, you know, one of your concerns is the manager, like mine, but I'm also looking at this five-man rotation. Jordan Montgomery is a guy that most people don't know much about. CeCe is old, and I think even CeCe Sabathia will tell you that he's back to help the young guys and be a veteran leader. And he'll get out there, and I think he'll probably win 10 games. But one through five, are you comfortable with the Yankees starting rotation?
I actually think the Yankees are having an underrated rotation right now, believe it or not, because especially the top, you have Luis Severino, who finished third in the Cy Young. You have Masahiro Tanaka, who rebounded very nicely in the playoffs, and he looked like the Masahiro Tanaka of old. If you get him back to his form, that's the toughest 1-2 right-handed punch in baseball, perhaps. And then you have Sonny Gray, who faltered a little bit down the last couple of games of September, and that really inflated his ERA with the Yankees. He pitched much better before that, and the numbers don't quite show how good Sonny Gray was. So he's been lost in the shuffle there. He could be a frontline starter, I believe. And behind the back of that up, Jordan Montgomery at the end of the rotation, he's as good as you can come for a number four or number five starter. He said he's working on his changeup, which he sort of abandoned in the last couple games of the season, and that provided him with great success during the year. And CeCe Sabathia, I mean, he strolled his ankle yesterday, actually, during a workout, so you really can't count on him for close to 200 innings anymore. You're lucky to get 140 with him right now, I would say.
So,
but from that
so
one,
four,
five,
so you would admit that four and five are questions, right? Severino's tremendous, I'll give you that. But you're putting a lot on Tanaka's three postseason starts and not the 30 regular season starts where his ERA was over 4.5.
Right. But towards the end of September, I mean, he shut down the Blue Jays in his final regular start of the season. It looked like something clicked with Tanaka. So I'm encouraged, and based on his track record, that I'm comfortable with just writing this off as 2017 was a tough year. He'll learn. He's one of the smartest pitchers in the game. He has a feel for it that he can come back out and pitch well. And then don't forget the Yankees also have a ton of pitching depth in their minor league system.
True.
They have some workhorse arms, and they also have some really high-end pitching pieces, Chance Adams and Justice Sheffield, who are not that far away.
It's interesting when you look at the lineup, and basically every spot is set except third base. There's been some thought that the Yankees might be looking at a free agent acquisition, or maybe they may go young. What happens, do you think, during the year for third base with New York?
Right now, I think they're going to start Miguel Andujar. I think that's the plan, unless something happens if Mike Moustakas somehow decides to take a pillow deal on a one-year contract. But, I mean, the Yankees are looking to squeeze under that luxury tax threshold, so I can't imagine paying top dollar for any of the third basemen out there available.
Right.
If Andujar starts the season and third base is clearly that area of weakness, I'm sure the Yankees will make that upgrade at the trade deadline.
All right, Tyler, get you out here on this. If you are going to create a lineup for the Yankees this year, give me your 1-6. Who are you putting in here? Because this is a fantasy baseball-type lineup that they've got.
1-6, I mean, you got to have Brett Gardner leading off. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Then Aaron Hicks, sort of that prototypical number two hitter. A lot of people are suggesting Aaron Judge hitting second. Ooh. I like Hicks in the two spot. 3, 4, and 5 is going to be where you terrorize the opposing pitchers. Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Gary Sanchez. I know some people are talking about breaking up the three right-handed bats. I'm not concerned about that.
Okay.
And then number 6, probably Greg Bird. He's a left-handed power hitting. That's who I would want in number 6 spot.
It's interesting. It's a crazy, crazy lineup. Tyler, thank you for the time.
It's the video game one.
It really is. It's just stupid how good it's going to be for the New York Yankees. Thanks for the time, Tyler. We'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
That is Tyler Norton, Pinstripe Alley, SB Nation site covering the Yankees. And, yeah, I can't wait to watch and see what Aaron Boone does, to be honest, with the lineup. I mean, Gardner's set. 3-4-5, take your pick. I mean, I like Stanton in the three hole because I'm a big believer in getting your best hitter up in the first inning. That's just my personal opinion. I always put my best hitter in the three hole, not the four hole. But we'll see what actually happens because it's either Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton. Okay. Which masher do you want to bat third? It's a crazy luxury. We've got a lot more to come, including a great conversation coming with the TV voice of the Golden Knights, Dave Gocher. It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio.